Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. Here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, welcome to episode 76 of the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids. Date today is April 16th, 2012. Topic for today is how parenting is like bowling. Some of you guys are raising your eyebrow. Some of you guys saw that title and thought, man, I've got to check this one out to see exactly what the answer to that is. We will figure out today why parenting is a lot like bowling. Before we get into that, guys, go through some real quick housekeeping. Consider signing up for the free episode email notification. What I need you to do is just jump down to the bottom of this post, and you can enter in your name and your email, and you will get notifications of when any new material goes out. It's especially handy for days like last Friday. Last Thursday night, I recorded Friday's episode and had it all done and had it all edited and went to go snag onto my internet, and my ISP was down. Could not get my podcast uploaded. Stayed up till almost 1:45 in the morning trying to get it to upload, and I could not get it to work. I kept losing connection. It kept dropping. So could not get it up. I feel a sense of obligation to have those out to you guys at all times, as many times as I can. And so I finally made an executive decision to go to bed. I was tired, and I wound up having to upload something to you guys on Friday. If you guys are subscribed to the email notification, you would have an instant email saying, when you woke up that next morning, saying, hey, here's why things are out on Friday, here's why I haven't gotten them to you, and you'd be able to know instantly why the episode that you were expecting of the Family Podcast Network wasn't there. So, free resource that I provide to you guys. You don't have to pay for anything. You don't enter any credit card numbers, nothing. You just put those two things in, and you go onto a confidential email list. I hate spam, just like you. Guys, also consider signing up and becoming a PTACker. That's just a fun way to support the site at less than 20 cents per episode. If you feel like you're getting 20 cents per episode out of the stuff that we're doing here, consider signing up for that. And last, let's do our fun fact about Trey for the day. You know, I consider myself a fairly standard, prototypical man. I like manly things. I like to go shoot. I played football in high school. I try to engender masculinity in my son. However, unlike most men, I hate yard work. I do. But honestly, my wife does our yard work. She often lets me do the weed eating just because she hates it. I have one of the nicer weed eaters that you can have. It's a four-stroke. It's kind of heavy. And somebody say, like, a four-stroke? Yeah, no, seriously, a four-stroke weed eater. I love it. And so it's a little heavier. So she leaves a lot of that kind of thing up to me typically. But she likes to do the mowing. She actually likes mowing, and I hate it. So my wife does the mowing, and typically I will be inside working on a sink full of dishes or whatever else. Don't get me wrong. I don't like dishes. I don't like straightening up a house, but for some reason, I don't like yard work. I do love to garden. It's not like I don't like being outside. I love to be in the garden up to my elbows in dirt and seeds and water and sweat. I love that. I've had no problems getting dirty and soaked. But when it comes to yard work, I don't like it. It's weird. But anyway, fun fact about Trey for the day. Well, let's get into our topic. Topic is going to be a principle today, a philosophical principle, so it's not going to be very long. There's not going to be like 10 steps of what you can do in your marriage to make it better. There's not going to be a, you know, those the 8-step process or 3 steps, and I love those. You guys know I love those, and I use them all the time on FPN. However, today is going to be more about a mindset. It's going to be that philosophy of thinking, an attitude, an approach to parenting. And we're going to talk a little bit about the approach that I think is the most common. And it's even a common approach that I catch myself taking. Sometimes just inherently, not even thinking about it. So the topic today is about redefining modern parenting approaches. I'm not trying to destroy those. Before you get upset and think he's trying to come in here and rip these up, that's not what today's topic is about. It's not about destroying. It's not iconoclastic. It's not about taking a set of values that you've had and remaking them or redoing them or tearing them down and rebuilding totally new ideas. It's about redefining some of the boundaries of how we think about parenting. So let's talk a little bit about the modern approach. What do we see the most of? And we're going to call this the leash principle, just like you would say when something you would put on a dog or a cat, or depending on if you're from certain parts of California, maybe a child. And I'm just kidding. But this is the leash principle. So this is the idea that when a kid is underneath our care and we're taking care of them, and they begin to stray and get too far away from what we want them to do, we take the leash and we yank them back. Just like you would do with a dog. If you're running with a dog or you're out walking and all of a sudden dog sees another dog, he starts to make a beeline for that other dog, you take them, you yank the leash, and you yank them back to where they're supposed to be. Often they stay distracted, so they're still connected to that. They still want to run away, but we pull them back, right? So that's the leash. This is the leash principle that we're talking about. So how do we do this as parenting? Am I suggesting that as parents, many of you out there are putting leashes on your kids? No, that's not what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. I have also looked at those little leash doodads that you can put on kids that when you're out in public, you can yank them back. Trust me when I tell you, I understand why a parent would want one of those. I got done a while back doing a sexual abuse awareness training program, or SAATP, and let me tell you, when I got done with that, I wanted them for all of my kids. My kids were going to disappear. That person was going to drag me with them. So leash principle. We do the leash principle with our kids by anything that you would consider reactionary, when you're reacting, right? We may do that through spanking. We might ground our kids, whether it be grounding them from going somewhere or grounding them from their PlayStation 3. It might be a loss of a privilege, right? Something they get to do, like having a curfew of midnight, but all of a sudden they come in late, and so they lose that. Might be yelling. It might be hitting. Now, I want to give a disclaimer on these last two, utmost and most clear that I can get them, because this is a vital piece. At Family Podcast Network, we do not condone abuse of kids. What is abuse? We define them in three different categories. Verbal, yelling anything that tears down a person in a hurtful and derogatory way. Physical, beating, slapping, kicking, hitting, pushing, knocking them down. Or mental. That can be things like mind tricks or playing games. And I'm not talking about teasing every so often, but doing mind tricks or game, using manipulation to get what we want. Maybe it's combining those. Maybe it's not even physically hitting, but we combine shouting and they collapse on the floor and you shout while you're towering over them, right? That's a mental abuse through fear. At Family Podcast Network, we do not support these in any capacity. Do we understand that? That is not okay. But these other ones are typically considered socially acceptable, spanking, grounding, loss of privilege, and all those kinds of things. And don't hear me wrong. I think every parent that I've ever met, myself included, has gotten frustrated with their kid and yelled at him. It seems to be a fundamental common ground from parents, not only across just generations and different races that I've worked with, but we're talking even different continents. So that seems to be a fairly universal thing. Going back to the leash principle again. Often we start these principles much later in life. 8, 9, 10 years old is when you'll start to see and we often spank, but often most parents know not to spank their kids when they're itty-bitty. Infants and toddlers typically just don't understand, especially before the age of 2, cause and effect. They don't understand that when I do these things, I get a spanking. And so then they're able to connect back. Oh, I got a spanking because I did this thing. Before 2 years old, most kids are incapable of doing that. So, we often start these things around 8, 9, 10. That's especially when you start seeing grounding. It's when they get 10, 11, 12, 13, and social parameters in kids' lives become more important. And so we often start that later in life. And since we start it later in life, we often kind of think that this leash method is more necessary. Because now that they're older, and now they're starting to have more autonomous, they make their own decision type things, and they want to do things their way. I think a lot of parents kind of move into this leash, like they need to tighten the leash up on them. I see that in that over-disciplined style of parenting that we've discussed in previous episodes, particularly the different types of discipline. We talk about that in another one. Or the different styles of parenting, we talk about how that over-discipline, that authoritarian mindset in parenting, it's I'm the boss, it's my way or the highway. They seem to get to that point where they feel the need to rein in the leash more. Well, now they're getting older, now we need to rein them in. So a lot of times the leash method, it seems like it needs to be more, we need to use more of it to get more of the results that we're getting. So kids begin to act up and they start to need more heavy-handed discipline is the kind of mindset that we get. My kid's messing up, they need more discipline. So what do we call that? Well, that's yanking the leash to get the attention. Right? So there's more of that yanking and pulling and tugging. And it's often kind of a violent experience, right? Depending on how hard you're yanking on a leash with a dog, for instance, it can be kind of violent. So I want to shift our mentality of parenting away from this idea of yanking a leash to get an attention. And I want to move it to a different idea, a different thought. I want to move it to parenting being more like bowling. Now, what I want you to imagine is it's bowling for a kid, right, first off. Right, so if a kid goes bowling, a little kid goes bowling, where do they go? They go to the ones with the bumpers on them. Right? They go get the bumpers. And this is how I want you to imagine bowling. So what is it? So these lanes that have the different bumpers, what do they do? What do the bumpers do for kids? So if a kid rolls a ball down one of these lanes, and it runs down the lane and it begins to get off course, what does the bumper do? It causes it to redirect the ball. When it's off course, when it's going to go into the gutter, it bumps it back into the lane. So the thing about the bump is that it has to be a very brief bump. It's not a large, hard thing. It's not the yank, right? The leash says you yank it really hard. So it would be like the ball going down the lane and then just a hard tug that would shoot it 90 degrees back in the lane, right? Which is not what we want because now it's just going to go boing, 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 you know, and bounce in between the lanes. That's not what we're talking about. What does the bumper do for the ball? As it's rolling down the lane, it just gives it a brief nudge that gets it back on its track. Now, do you see the distinguishing difference here? One is just that yank, that 90-degree turn, and the other one is just a gentle boing. It just bumps it back into that lane. Sometimes it goes further down the lane. It bumped off of that one, then it hits the other lane again. Boink. And then it bounces back the other way again until it gets all the way down there. And at least in all hopefulness, it hits it hits at least one pin, right? Just to make our kids happy that they did that. But the key to it is that it needs to be brief, very brief. Just a course correction, a minor bump. And then it needs to be over. But I think parents take this leash approach. They need to grab their kids and yank them and rein them in. Am I suggesting that you let kids run all over you? Am I suggesting that you let kids push you around? No. Does the bumper let the ball push it around? It's firm with it, right? So the ball may hit it, the pad may squish in a little bit, but does it really change anything? No. The ball bounces back off and goes back on course again. We talk in a previous episode, if you ever want to go look it up, we talk about the difference between being firm with our kids and being hard on our kids. And how you can have those elements of that hard without being hard on them. You can have that firmness where you're unbending and unyielding, but you do it in a gentle way. Rather than a, get out of here, no, I'm right, you're wrong, and it's my way or the highway. Some of you parents out there, some of you that are just joining us, some of you this is your first one you've ever listened to. You're looking at me saying, well, what's wrong with the my way or highway approach? I'm the mom. I'm the dad. So it is my way or the highway. I'll tell you this. I have never seen that work well ever. Now, you can keep trying it. I'm not telling you to stop it. What I'm telling you is it causes more headaches than it does helps. Trey, why? Why would that be? Why does that cause more headaches? Who is watching you to learn everything that they're going to do in their lives? Our kids are. And if our kids are seeing us take the my way or highway approach, what are they likely to do? Do the same thing. You put two my way or the highway approach people in the same room. I'll tell you, I have seen some fireworks in my office because of two my way or the highway approaches. kid thinks the parent's a big jerk. Real truthfully, the parents think the kid's a big jerk. But in reality, kids are just doing what they've been taught. And I'm sorry to say it that way. So I'm telling you, if you're using the It's My Way or the Highway approach, stop. If you're joining us for the first time, you're like, okay, Trey, then what? Go up there to Where to Start. And that gives you my top 10 episodes that I recommend you start on. You want to be incredibly successful. We got 76 episodes knocked out. Start at number one. Now, that's going to be, you're going to go back to when I first started doing this into my car. So those first few episodes, frankly, they sucked because they were poor recording. You can hear blinkers in the background. But it was what I had at the time, and it was what I had accessible, and what was the time that I had to do it. And it's progressed as it's gone. But I recommend, go check out those early episodes 1 all the way to 76. But if you want to start somewhere that's the most heavy-hitting, jump up there, Where to Start, and get in there. And you can see what I recommend more than the My Way or Highway approach. So again, we're talking about this bowling mentality of bowling on the bumper track, right? It gives that little brief bump to correct, and it puts it right back on that path. It's very brief, and then it's done. The neat thing about this approach is you can start it when they are early. You don't have to wait till they're 8, 9, or 10 to start using it. You can use that general bump redirection at a young, young age. And the beautiful thing about it is it allows for some deviation, but it corrects when necessary. It allows kids who are little and young to make some mistakes. They're going to screw up a little bit. They're going to do things that they shouldn't. Just this weekend, I've actually been sitting here munching while I was putting show notes together. I've been munching on Easter candy because we did our Easter show a little bit late. It's like, Trey, this is the 14th and the 15th of April. You're a little late there, aren't you? And the answer is yes, but we had ours a week later on purpose just for strategic family planning. And so we took a little trip back from Easter with my family, and we were driving back. And we got in the car, and my daughter had brought a cup of water with her from the restaurant we had eaten at with my parents. And she got in, and my wife looked at her and said, Anna, don't go drinking a whole bunch of that water, or else, you're going to get to a point to where, you're going to need to pee really, really bad. And my daughter just kind of kept sipping on the water. I was like, okay, whatever. And so we drove a little further, and finally my wife looked at me, and she looked back and she said, Anna, you're still drinking that water. Sugar, we've got a long trip. If you keep doing that, you're going to need to pee really bad. It's going to be very uncomfortable. And she goes, okay. And she just kind of kept on going and kept doing it, right? So you see what happened? We allowed some deviation from what we wanted to do. What we wanted Anna to do was to stop. But she didn't want to. She had decided that she knew what was going to be better for herself. Well, of course, probably about 30, maybe 40 minutes from the house, guess what happens? Oh, Mom, Dad, I've got to go potty so bad. And so I looked over at my wife, and of course, we talk big about logical consequences. You want to talk about a good logical consequence? And we weren't trying to make her hurt. We were so close to being home. We're like, I'm sorry, baby. You're going to have to hold it. And it was a very uncomfortable position. I've never watched a little girl sprint to a house faster, moving only the parts of her legs starting at the knees. She had her little legs crimped together as tight as they would go, and she was only running from the knee down. But let me tell you, that little girl got to a bathroom fast, and she came back in. My kids always like water before they go to bed. And so one of my littlest one, Cora, had said, Dad, water, water, water. So I went and got some water, and she took a sip, and then my son was like, Dad, have some water. And I handed my cup up to Anna. I said, now, Anna. And she goes, oh, Dad, I remember. And she took one little tiny sip and handed me that cup. It was pretty stinking cute in its own way. But she had learned from that. You see what happens? I allowed a little bit of deviation. We had a little bit of firmness and said, no, we're not going to pull over, baby. We tried to warn you about this. Bump. It bumped her back on. Let me tell you, she has been so very conscientious about her water drinking now, because, and we love it. We have water babies, man. We have kids that they don't ask for juice. They don't ask for milk. Although my daughter's starting to become like her daddy and ask for milk, glasses of milk more, but they don't ask for milk. And they want glasses of water in the morning, in the afternoon, and the evening. And daddy loves that. But it was really kind of neat to see that this bowling mentality allows our kids to make some mistakes, to allow them to go down paths. Maybe it's not exactly what we want, But if it gets too far out of line, if it begins to get close to the gutter, then we can bump them back just a little bit. And then maybe they'll swing too far the other way. Bump them back just a little bit. But it allows some of that play. It allows kids to have, and let's just stick with the analogy, it gives them a lane for them to choose exactly where they want to go. We're trying to get them to the same destination. Just like every single person is trying to get that bowling ball to the same destination, which is the pins on the other end. But no one parent does everything exactly the same way. I teach fundamental core things here. And I also teach some personal opinions, and I try to make sure to mention those. When they're just my personal opinions, I try to mention those every time. But the way I'm going to roll my parenting down the lane ain't going to look like yours exactly. It may look a lot of similar. We may share a lot of similarities. But they won't be the same. And that is very okay. So it allows the kid to pick how they want to do it. If they want to bounce back and forth off of bumpers for a little while, that's fine. If they want to go straight, or if they want to go with a little bit of spin like professional bowlers do, like crazy, wicked, what the heck, how do they even do that spin? That's okay. So it gives them that opportunity to choose. Instead of having a laser precise line that they have to walk, which no kid does well with. No kid does well when there's no room to fall on either side of getting it right or getting it wrong or doing it this way or doing it that way. It gives them a little bit of play on what they can do. And then if they get too far off the course, bump, they can come back a little bit. And I like that. And that's good. And I think we resist that. We don't want to have the bumper moments with our kids, but they're great. Lately, our kids have been picking up some pretty rotten habits from some folks that they know. And I want to get really upset with them when I see them come back acting these certain ways. But I begin to realize it's such a wonderful moment to treat it as a bump moment. It's such a wonderful moment to sit back and go, okay, how am I teaching this to my kid? What am I doing? Where are they? Are they really just getting this from this particular friend or this particular family member or that particular kid at church and Sunday school or whatever? You know, I have to ask myself those things, or do I have to take a look at it and say, oh, crap, I'm the one who's been teaching them that. So the beautiful thing about the bowling analogy, the bowling philosophy of parenting, is that it's not violent. It's not yanking like the leash would be. It's guiding. It's bumping. It's nudging them in the right direction. Not forcing them, not putting them on a line and say, do not cross this on either side, walk completely dead on straight on it. It's giving them that opportunity to pick their course, but bump them just a little bit to get them back on the right track. Let me tell you guys a story that kind of helped instigated this lesson today. We were at church this morning, and we were sitting down, and my son was up there, and my daughter was up there, and they did children's sermon. At least in the church that I go to, they have what's called a children's sermon, which is during the middle of the service for the adults. They'll have a time where little kids come up there, and a particular lady who has a pretty amazing gift at doing it sits down and gives a lesson that really helps the kids learn a principle, but does it in a venue where they actually learn something. They don't, you know, their eyes don't begin glazing and then rolling in the back of their heads, right? And, you know. And I was watching my son today, my son Grant, and he's four, getting close to, excuse me, three, just turned four. And he was sitting there, and he was just kind of starting to get a little fidgety and moving around a lot. And then he got to where he started hanging kind of on the lady who was teaching and started kind of disrupting her. So I did my daddy snap, just boom. And, of course, the minute he hears that, his eyes go look at me. He sits back, and then we sit there for a little bit. And every so often, he'd do something new, and he'd kind of look at me to see what I was doing. I'd smile, give him a thumbs up, he's fine. He'd do a little something different, and then he'd smile and do it just a little fine. And then he'd start doing a little bit more, and he'd be, look at me, and I'm okay now. I'm like, And then finally, he would do it. He would get up, and he would poke one of the other kids or something like that to get their attention. And then I'd have to do my, you know, I've got my daddy, psst, which is just something I do. And that when my kids hear that, they, whoa, they know to listen. So he looked at me. What did he do? He bumped the wall. He hit the bumper just a little bit. So then he got back in his spot, and then he started kind of twiddling his thumbs or something, and he looked at me. No problem, right? So do you see, it wasn't about getting over there and yanking him and making him do exactly what I wanted. What I wanted was for him to stop and look at the teacher, don't talk, keep your hands to yourself, and don't give me any fussing. Just sit there. That's what I wanted. But that ain't my boy. He's got a lot of energy. He likes to move. He's a social little dude. Boy, he got his daddy when it comes to being social. So asking my three, just turned four-year-old, to sit down for 5-10 minutes for a lesson is pretty incredible. That's a lot to ask from a kid. So what I allowed him to do is I allowed him to choose what he wanted to do. Fidgeting, you know what? If that helps him stay focused and not bother other kids, fine. Twiddling his thumbs, fine. Kind of moving around a little bit, kind of squatting down and standing up, you know. I mean, you know what? If that's fine. But he started distracting the teacher. Snap! Hit the bumper. I didn't yank him over there. I didn't come in the crowds and then grab him and set him down and sit there with him and make him look right at her. But I allowed him to choose his course. And only step in and nudge when he needed it. And that's the philosophy of... And guys, I'm not trying to pitch this as, look how amazing I do at parenting. Let me tell you, I screw up just as much as I get it right. But every time I get it wrong, it helps me make this right happen a little easier the next time. And this was just one instance where we got it right. We've got to move from this philosophy away from the yank and the harsh and the abrupt and the laser line, stay completely focused, do exactly what I want you to. And we've got to move to this, let them choose and let them find the boundary. We talk about boundaries all the time, setting boundaries with our kids. It's all the bumper is in bowling. It's a boundary to bump the ball back to where it needs to be going. That is the mentality that we need in parenting. Let them choose what they want to do and bump them when they get too far. Don't get me wrong. Kid grabs a butter knife and starts lining it up for an electric socket. There needs to be some hard boundary bumping. We don't play around with life-threatening situations. But not sweating the little things. Not having expectations and demands that are nuts, that are just nuts for kids. Not having just ridiculously long, drawn-out expectations and rules for our kids. Allow them to pick their course. And know where it is that you want to step in. More than likely, probably where you want to step in is too soon. It doesn't give them that opportunity to choose and to learn logical consequences. So some of you guys out there may be like, Trey, man, I don't know. when is this too far? Is what I'm doing here, am I waiting too long? Or am I stepping in too quickly? If you have any questions about that, one of my favorite things and one of my bigger gifts is helping families work this out. So feel free. You can go up to the comment section and add a comment up there if you want to do it anonymously. You can send it through your email to TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. I will answer your question. And right now, because of the demands, I can get it in pretty quickly right now. So if you're wondering, hop up there, contact me, or email me at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. Well, guys, that's all I have today. Remember, do it like bowling. Not like leashing. I appreciate you guys for joining us for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. You guys have a great day. We'll see you guys tomorrow on Tuesday.